you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. Are possible now that you're here.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we come humbly and reverently before thy throne of mercy this morning, believing, Lord, that you have come down in this hour with a shout, that you even took your picture with your prophet, and Father, getting us ready with a message for the going home of the Gentile bride. Be with us, Father, as we come to understand these things which you have given to us. We ask that you would help us, Lord, prepare for the going home, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we had a good baptism out in California, and good fellowship with the brothers out there. There's a handful of brothers who are studying the message, and they were very, very happy to meet me for the first time, some of them. And so just keep them in prayer. Also, if our brother mentioned this morning, Brother Youssef and is actually... two of the judges have already condemned him to death. It takes a third. So we want to keep him in prayer. They've had as many as five or six of the pastors over there in Iran jailed up. They're trying to pass a new law that states that basically if you profess any religion outside of Muslim, you can be beheaded for it. And so it's a very dangerous place to be. So you just want to keep those brothers in prayer, because, you know, when the Lord opens your eyes, tell you, it's hard to step away from the truth. So we just want to continue to pray for them. Now, I'd like to pick up at paragraph 19 of the Spoken Word is Original Seed, Brother Graham's second half of that sermon. As you recall, he preached about 6.5 hours, 3 in the morning and about 3.5 in the afternoon. And it's a tremendous sermon. Now, this will be number 170 in our series, and I'm just calling it the Holy Ghost evidence. In paragraph 19, Brother Brown says, "Now look tonight, just look what happened even last night. This senator of Kentucky said about having a Republican in the seat up there now representing the state of Kentucky, and he said he's a Protestant and makes no bones of it, him a Catholic. They're getting just as bold as they can be, and remember, there's other things that goes with that. And if they were getting bold back in the 60s, what are they today? You know, they're just basically in your face on everything." And he says, "And remember, there's other things that goes along with that. The unwise virgin time, we see that. Things that have never happened, that none of the men, the teachers down through the ages, could say these things like we see them now, because we're here. Now, the unwise virgin and the hybrid Pentecostals, that's the same thing, hybrid with the things of the world. Now, remember, I'm Pentecostal, but not Pentecostal by denomination. I resent that. I'm Pentecostal by experience. We must have, the Methodists are Pentecostal, the Baptists are Pentecostal, the Catholics are Pentecostal, if they've got the Pentecostal experience. You cannot organize Pentecost, because it's an experience, and it's God, and God cannot be organized. Now Jesus has told us these things would come. He told us about what would take place, the unwise virgin would rise up, and the things that would we would do, and how that the people would call out in the days and want oil. But they'd be too late, see? Now watch them three churches. There is the prostitute. She didn't come for nothing. She just self-centered in herself. There was the unwise virgin, which is the Protestant church. And there was the bride, see? Now, there's the three stages of the church in the last days. Now watch, we're going to bring them right straight out and from Genesis and bring them on out and place them in Revelations in the rapture, the Lord willing. All these things look real. Pentecost looks real. I belong to a Pentecostal organization. Well, that don't mean no more than if you lived in a hog pen. Wouldn't make a bit of difference. I wouldn't. It's just as sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Yeah, no more. It's no more where you belong if you're not born of the Spirit of God and receive the Holy Ghost. And the reason, and if you don't believe all the Word of God, you haven't received the Holy Ghost yet. That's right. That's exactly right. The Holy Spirit. When you hear the truth and the Holy Spirit don't lead you to it, then there's another spirit in there keeping you away from it. So the spirit you got in you ain't the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. Those are pretty strong words from Brother Branham, and I'd like to focus on those last thoughts there, where he said, when you hear the truth and the Holy Ghost don't lead you to it, then there's another spirit in you keeping you away from it. So the spirit you got in you ain't the Holy Ghost. Now, if we turn to 1 Corinthians this morning in our Bibles, chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Notice these two verses here. He's saying, look, if you're not a man, you cannot understand the things of a man. You know, if you're like Brother Branham said, the knot on a tree, he could never understand how we can be so free and active and walk about and move from place to place. You know, a dog could never understand what goes on in your mind. And, you know, a pig or a cow or anything else. So if you don't have the spirit of a man in you, or the spirit of a woman, you'll never understand the spirit of a man, or the things of a man, or the things of a woman. But then he says, but now, the same thing with the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, how are you going to understand the things of God? You see, that's why people come to church, they go through the motions, you know, they think they're getting something, and they're not. Unless you're born again, unless you have the Spirit of God in you, you cannot understand the Word of God. It's just, it might as well just be Greek. It might as well be another language to you. And that's why people have such a hard time. They don't get much out of it because they can't understand what's being said. So he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Notice, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So the reason God gives you his spirit is to understand him. You see? So that you can have the same mind that God has. Which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of, or the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Notice it says they cannot know him, and they cannot know them. Now try, they may. They will never be able to know them unless they have God's Spirit in them. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now Jesus said the same thing in John chapter 3 and verse 3, if you turn with me. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now notice he said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So it is important for us to understand what he means by you cannot see it. Now concerning this point, Brother Branham said in his sermon, Mary's Belief, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Now see means to understand. There's a lot of people that say that they're born again and can't understand the message, can't see the angel of the Lord. Their eyes are blind, brother. Except a man be born of the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost that wrote the word will confirm the word. And the same confirmation of the Holy Ghost in you, you see what I mean? It will bear record of itself. Then our spirit bears record with his spirit because his spirit bears record with his word. So Brother Branham is letting us know that when the word see is used there, it means understand. Just like sometimes, you know, I say, I'm showing you something, you say, you know, you could say, on one hand you could say, well, I just don't get it. Or you could say, I just don't see it. You see, you're looking right at it, but you just don't see it. You know, you don't comprehend it, you don't understand it. And that's the same thing when Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot understand it. It's just church. It's just people coming together and doing some strange things, coming together, singing some songs and lifting their hands and praising God, and it's just church. But if you truly are born again, your heart begins to feed from the understanding that God brings you, and that understanding sets you free. From it shall be even as it was told to me, Brother Branham also said, Anyhow, to see doesn't mean to look at. The word see means to understand. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he can't understand the kingdom of God until he's born again. So notice in particular that Jesus is saying, unless you're born again, there's absolutely no way for you to understand the message. Now, as much as I travel overseas, it's very apparent to me that most of the 2 million people who claim to believe the message in this world have not yet been born again. They've come, they sat in pews, they listen half-heartedly, or they don't come to listen to understand and to learn. They come to occupy a religious place. After our meetings in 2004 in Congo, several of the ministers came up and said, we've been preaching the message for 20 years. And now in these meetings, we just learn how to read our Bibles. You see, when you read your Bible, don't read it like a book. Read it just one thought and stop and think of what is God trying to say to me. That is the thoughts of God. And that's who God is. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And God, in his heart, trying to talk to you, trying to talk to me through his word. But if we read it like a book and, well, bless God, I've got I'm going to try to get through this thing in 365 days in the Bible. So I'm going to read, every day I'm going to read two or three chapters. It's not going to work for you. Read one thought. What did God say to me? You see, I could take any 5-year-old child that can read and have them read the scripture and they will get a right understanding. But give it to a theologian and he's going to have it all messed up. Why? Because he's got his mind made up. Give it to a child who's open and honest in their heart. And when God says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to say, there's one who's a God. He's also the father of the one whose name is Jesus Christ. But give it to a theologian, he's going to say, there's a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Or you give it to a oneness, United Pentecostal, and they're going to say, there's one God, and his name was Jesus, and he took on a veil of flesh, and he came down and died for our sins. And, they're pretty close, but they make that veil. You see, there was a body called the Son of God, and it's not just a body, it's the threefold tripartite being. Brother Branham said God came into the body, soul, and spirit of his Son, Jesus Christ. So we see then that unless we're born again, unless we have the Spirit of God in us, we can just read these words and they just will go over our head. Now, you think about that, there's almost 7 billion people in the world. 1.5 billion are Muslim. Another 1 billion are Catholic. 950 million are Hindu. Just in those three religions alone, you have over half the world's population. And they've all read this Bible. The Hindus have read it. They don't get anything from it. The Muslims, they've read it. They don't get anything from it. The Catholics, they read it. And to all of them, it's kind of a history. It's just a book. But see, to the one who's born again, it's the expression, it's the words, it's the thoughts of their Father being expressed to them. So what does the Catholic get from it? Or what does the Muslim get from it? Or the Hindu? Nothing. But what does the son or daughter of God get from it? They get a mind that's commensurate with their Father's mind. They receive a conforming spirit. That is, as the Bible says, that we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. They see the pattern, which is Christ. They see a family, a whole host. As Paul said, the family in heaven is called Jesus. That's you and I. Jesus was the firstborn in a vast family of brothers. That's what Paul told us. Jesus said, go tell my brothers that I must go to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Now, forgive me if the words here that we say are offensive, but when you stand on the word, as John said, if any man hath not the doctrine of Christ, let him not into your house. And when we find the word of God can be very offensive if your mind is in a worldly manner, but if you have the mind of your Father, the words are never offensive to you. They may be correctional, but they're never offensive. And if you don't believe, Brother Branham said, if you don't believe all the word, you haven't received the Holy Ghost yet. He also said, when you hear the truth and the Holy Ghost don't lead you to it, then there's another spirit in there keeping you away from it. So the spirit you got in you ain't the Holy Spirit. And again, we heard him say there's a lot of people that say that they're born again and can't understand the message. And also we heard him say the word see means to understand. So we have some pretty tough things to bring out here, because if they turn down the Holy Ghost to lead them, God will indeed give them another spirit to lead them and influence them, as we heard Brother Branham say earlier in this series. Now, when a son of God is born again, he receives power from God to make a right decision concerning who he is. In John 1 and verse 12, we read, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. That word is exousia. It means authority and ability to make a right decision. And what is that right decision? To become what we were ordained to become. It says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now the Baptist would read that, and he would say, as many as received him, to them gave he power to go from a hog to a human. To go from one species to another species. That's not what it says. It says, gives him an ability to make a right decision. I am going to follow my Father. I am going to walk in the ways of my elder brother Jesus. So we see that those who were of such a nature that they were able to receive him when he was manifested in the person of his Son, these are the ones who he has given power. These are the ones who he has given authority. These are the ones who he has given an ability to make a right decision concerning who they are, sons of God. Now this tells us in verse 13 that it is not something that you can do by your own will, nor can you do it via your own power, but it says that this birth can only be done by what God himself has done for you. So we see two forms of birth. One that is produced by an act of the flesh, and that which is not produced by an act of the flesh, but by the will of God. Then the one produced by an act of the flesh must gravitate towards the flesh. But the other birth, the one that is born of the will of God, it must gravitate towards the will of God. Then this is the only birth that will gravitate to the will of God instead of the will of man, because every seed must bring forth after its kind. And yet we're born in the flesh and we're born in the Spirit. So our birth in the Spirit and the life coming forth in the Spirit is in conflict with this flesh. Paul said, who can deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ who giveth me the victory. Now in John chapter 3 verse 6 we read, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So you see there's a difference in the nature between the two kinds of seeds. In 1 Peter 1 and 23 Peter tells us, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. So we see that what it means to be born of corruptible seed, because a corruptible seed must produce a corruptible life. That's why you have in the denominational churches, they have a revival, and everybody comes to the altar. And then 2 weeks go by, and they have another revival, and they come again. Or a month goes by, or 6 months goes by, and they come again, because they've got a corruptible life. In other words, it keeps slipping back, slipping back, slipping back. But see, once you're born again, just feeding on the Word of God, there isn't any slipping back, slipping back, slipping back. There's something in you called the Holy Spirit, which works within you, quickens to you. When you're wrong, He lets you know you're wrong. You don't have to pile up a whole side of things that you've done wrong before you get a correction. You know, each time you make your error, He guides you back into the truth. For he will lead you into all truth. Now let's look at the natural birth to see just how the soul and spirit join together with the body to make a tripartite being. From his sermon, The Comforter, Brother Branham said, when a little baby is conceived in the mother's womb, it's just flesh and blood, jumping and quivering. As soon as it's born, you don't see it, but there's a spirit and soul hanging near the mother to come into that baby just as soon as it's born. Just as soon as that baby is born, God has created a soul and created a spirit to be in that baby just as soon as it's born into this world. That little baby becomes matured and it begins to learn. Then it becomes a living soul when it knows what's right and wrong. Then it's got, just like Adam and Eve, it's set before the tree of right and wrong and it makes its choice. Then it becomes intelligent. It grows all the time in God's great economy. And finally it comes down to the end of the road for this physical body. And just as this body is deteriorating and going away, there is another one being prepared to receive it. Just as soon as it leaves here, this soul that's in us now, and the spirit leaves this body and goes to another, a young one, a good one, a better one, a one that won't get old or one that won't pass away. Now this makes the human being a very complex character because he's born with a body that has been and a spirit that has been allowed by God. Then when he's born again, the Spirit of God comes into that body, changing the life of the body from mortal to immortal. When his soul and spirit leave that body, it goes to another body which has been waiting for it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles if you would, because we have some words to read here, quite lengthy. But beginning at verse 35, 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll begin reading at verse 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. In other words, Paul is saying, look, if you have a wheat seed and you put it in the ground, what comes back up is not that wheat seed, but that wheat seed that goes into the ground has to rot, the outer core has to release the life that's on the inside. Then it comes back, and now you just don't have just one wheat, you have many. You see? So he's saying that the body that goes into the ground, it's not the one that comes up. All right? In other words, it's not the... there's got to be a process. It decays, all these things, and then there's another body that's waiting. He says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. In other words, look, he's saying, all seeds are just life. If I take a watermelon seed and peel out the outer derm, you know, the outer dermis, I still don't see the life. And I can peel open the mesoderm and I still don't see the life. I go to the endoderm, I still don't see the life. The life is spirit. And God gives, you know, and animals have spirit. They don't have a soul, but they have spirit. And so they have life. So that life is given a body. He says all seeds are given a body. Okay? And he says there are bodies of fishes and men and animals and beasts and those kind of things. Verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. In other words, they're different. There is one glory of the sun, another of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. In other words, the seed may go down with missing limbs and everything else, but it comes up whole. Okay. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, the second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment and the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. O grave, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now that is why Brother Bram taught us that what we are here is only a reflection of where we're going. From explaining healing and Jairus, he said, what you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who he called, he justified. Is that right? Those who he justified, he has glorified. Romans 8:29. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Wasn't that deep? All right, we'll find out whether it's right or not. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Is that right? That's right. So right now, and what we are there is a reflection. Here, what we are here is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, you know where it comes from. You know where your other body is waiting. Wow, that's pretty strong. Then my question is this. If my earthly body is only reflecting where my heavenly body is, then where is my earthly body? Is it in church? Is it in fellowship around the Word of God? Or is it out in the bar someplace? Is it out groping in darkness? You see? Is it studying God's word to show myself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed? Or is it feeding on the things of the world? Ask yourself, where does your joy come from? That will tell you where your soul is reflecting from. Webster's dictionary tells us that an attitude is the position or posture assumed by the body in connection with an action, a feeling or mood, a manner of acting, feeling or thinking that shows one's disposition, opinion, and mental set. In other words, there's a reflection taking place from the inner man to the body. The body is just a reflector. That's why I've taken some courses in negotiating, and there's body language that we all have, and there's certain things that you do in your body language that can tell a person if you're interested or not, can tell a person if you're, you know, if you're basically spaced out and you're somewhere else. I remember they gave us three pictures, and they said, now tell us, what is this man doing? And they had the same man and in a telephone booth. And in one picture, he was kind of like this. And they said, that's a man talking to his girlfriend. Kind of, he didn't want anybody in, you know. And then there was another man, it's kind of like this. And they said, well, he's talking business. And then they had another one, explaining another situation that could be. So when you look at people's body language, you can tell what's going on in their soul. You see? So Webster says that an attitude is a position or posture assumed by the body in connection with an action, feeling, or mood. It's a manner of acting, feeling, or thinking that shows one's disposition. It is the outward reflection of our mindset. And if your attitude is a reflection of what is going on in your heart, then the heart and the mind must come into the right disposition first, and then the body will only reflect what's on the inside. Once your mind has come to the place of live, die, sink, or swim, then your body will follow. So many people walk around with such rotten attitudes that you have to wonder what they've been feeding their souls on. The attitude is only a reflection of the inside. Now, when we think of the conditions, we think of mechanics, but when we think of attitude, we see something different. It is the breach between mechanics and dynamics. You can have all the mechanics right, and like Brother Branham said, put a live egg under a dead hen and it won't work. You can have all the mechanics right, all the conditions right, but without this link between the mechanics and dynamics, you will only be a legalist, acting out. In other words, it'll be hypocritical. What you're doing on the outside isn't really how you feel on the inside. The mechanics is the conditions, the dynamics is the living word of God in operation, and the little link between them, that's your attitude. My God spoke in Genesis 1:11, the law of reproduction, when he said, every seed shall bring forth after its kind. That means that every seed will produce the nature of the original life that the seed came forth from. So if the Holy Spirit has quickened you, by His Word, then the very nature of that Word must come forth in your attitude, in your reflection. The nature or character of a seed is what distinguishes one form of life from another. The characteristics describes a nature, and our character defines what life is governing us. Therefore, you either have the beast nature ruling in your flesh, or you have God's very own nature ruling and living itself out in you, that we will take with you when you die, and that's your character. It doesn't matter how popular you are or how much wealth you have accumulated, that will all stay. When you die, you're stripped naked of everything you own or possess, with one exception, and that's your character. That is who you are. That is the essence of your being. And your life here is just a reflection of where you're going. Now, the thing that we're looking at here is the nature of God in the believer. In other words, it is the God life reflecting itself out in the believer. But we have a problem. We have a flesh to deal with. And to have the actions and speech of God cannot come until a mind of God is in us. You see? And unless we think God's thoughts, we can never do or speak words that are pleasing to Him. You know, everybody wants to be like Brother Branham because he was such a man of God, such an obedient person. But we don't want to go through the suffering. And yet we're ordained to the suffering in order to bring forth the same nature. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. So Paul says if we have the Spirit of God in us, there's a certain desire in us that wants to act, wants to speak, wants to be like the Lord. In Romans 12 and 1, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and that perfect will of God. Now, what I'm bringing to you this morning is very important, because if you're not born again, you will not go in the rapture. Period. You better know that you're born again. And so the question then is, how do I know that I'm born again? You will understand the Word of God for the day that you're living. That's how you'll know. Brother Bram said from his sermon, Super Sign, he said, now let me tell you, anything outside of being born again will never reach the rapture. Unless there is a germ of life inside of you, you'll perish. You cannot rise up again. And again from his sermon, Questions and Answers, he said, the question was, will all born-again believers go in the rapture? No, just the remnant, not all born-again believers. The Bible said, and the rest of the dead lived not for 1,000 years, and then they was raised up and separated, the sheep from the goats. Not all born-again will go in according to the Scripture. What is the evidence then that a person is really filled with the Holy Ghost? John 14:26, when the Holy Ghost has come, He will show you things to come. See, He'll perfect it. Man-made won't do it, and He is the Word. When He, the Holy Ghost, has come, He will identify Himself in you with the Scripture. And that is a true sign that the Holy Spirit is in you, because it is the Word. In other words, the mind of God in you. That's your real evidence that you're born again. From hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the Word of God, Brother Branham said, first, faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. Then the believer hears it, then he recognizes it, and then he acts on it. The carnal man will hear it, the sound of it, but hear means to understand. To look at is looking at something, but to see is to understand it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot understand the kingdom of God. Now my concern is for the generations of children who have come up in the message churches, and have never been taught anything but the message, and yet what message they have has been taught in most cases has been an error, because they have been taught a oneness concept of the Godhead instead of the truth as taught by William Branham. But their parents say, well, to believe the prophet makes you born again. Now listen, the devil believes and he trembles. Your children may know what they've been taught, but the real question is, what have they been taught? Or have they been indoctrinated into a church creed or just into a movement? Now, if this is the case, that doesn't mean anything to God. As Brother Bram said in our reading this morning, that don't mean no more than if you lived in a hog pen. It wouldn't make a bit of difference. It wouldn't. It's just a sounding brass and tinkling of cymbals. Yeah, no matter where you belong, if you're not born of the Spirit of God and receive the Holy Ghost, you're lost. So the main thing is, have we been born again? Have you personally been born again? If you haven't, then there's a formula. Repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The word repent means to change your thinking, to make an about face. You were going this way in the world, and the Holy Ghost got a hold of you. You make an about face and say, okay, God, I'm not going in the way of the world any longer. I'm following Jesus. And you repent, and which means to cleanse your mind, to let go of your wrong thinking, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a promise. The promise is unto you and to your children, and as many as the Lord our God would lead. Now, just to believe that God sent a prophet in our day does not get you into the family of God. A new birth brings the very life of God into you, the life of God himself. From Christ is the mystery of God revealed, Brother Brown said, look, Christ in you makes him the center of life of the revelation. See, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See what God's trying to do? What is a new birth then? You say, well, Brother Brown, what is a new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See? Not you joined a church, you shook hands, you done some different thing, you set a creed, you promised to live by a code of rules, but Christ, the Bible, he is the word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody else says, what takes place is Christ. Whether pastor, priest, whatever it might be, is Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. From the second coming of the Lord, Brother Bram said, now you can have a intellectual faith by hearing the word and perceiving it in your mind and accepting it upon those bases, which is intellectual faith. But the faith that Jesus was speaking of in St. John 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. That doesn't come from intellectual faith. That comes from a born-again experience. As a man thinketh in his heart, he's born again. And from there comes forth the thought, his soul, not from his mind, but from his soul, something that tells him that it's wrong. And contrary, it's wrong. Amen. I hope you get it. You know it anyhow. In other words, it's not up here. It's in here. From Christ is the mystery of God revealed, Brother Ram said, but the only way that you're saved is by knowing him by revelation. And there's a big difference between knowing something as a creed and then having it revealed to you down deep in your soul. Too many people have seen their children come up in this message and either be a good church member or they just leave altogether. The latter is because they haven't been born again. And I wonder sometimes if the parents have had any experience of God with their children. If you've truly been feeding on a spiritual revelation from God, and God has truly been meeting you as an individual, your children will see that in you. But look at Lot's children. Look at his son-in-laws. Lot sat in the gate. He kind of wanted to be in, kind of wanted to be out. Couldn't make up his mind. And so when it came along, the son said, well, you seem as though one that mocks. What does that mean? What's a mock? Like a mockingbird. It's someone who is an imitator. We're just an imitator. Why should we believe you when you tell us now it's urgent that we leave Sodom? And so they stayed behind. They got burnt up. Lot's testimony wasn't too good. He didn't make a decision to follow the Lord. He made a decision to mingle with the world. Brother Brad makes it very clear in his sermon, Christ is a mystery of God revealed. where he says Paul knew him by revelation. That's how we know him today, is the only way that you could know him. Not say I'm Methodist, that means nothing. I'm Baptist, that means nothing. I'm Catholic, that means nothing. But by the revelation that God has revealed the Word to you. He is the Word. And the Word, how you know it, it's revealed. It lives itself and expresses itself through you. Hallelujah. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, if you've received the Son of God's seed, life in you, then it must express itself in you, through you. So, if the Spirit which raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, Paul said, it will quicken your mortal body. You want to be like Christ? Let His Spirit come into you. And be like the Son of God, who said, not my will, Father, but thy will be done. He said, Father, he said, the Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father do. That doeth the Son likewise. The Father works, the Son worketh hitherto. You want to see your Father work? It's right here in this Bible. He said, the Son can say nothing but what the Father commanded him what to say. You want to know what to say? It's right here. It's just that simple. Just that simple. Don't read it like a book. Don't read it from cover to cover. Read it from thought to thought. One thought at a time. Just one thought. Not even a whole paragraph. Not even a whole verse. It might be just one thought out of the verse. Like Brother Brown preached that tremendous message called, Hear Ye Him. Just one part of a verse. He preached another message called, Here They Crucified Him. Pointing out, here. Here where? Jerusalem, the most religious city in the world. They, who? The most religious people in the world. Crucified. What's that? The most feared form of death. Him, who? The Lord that they claim to worship. Four little words. What tremendous thoughts came out of those four little words. This is God's thoughts expressed to you in a written form. He said, we are to be written epistles read of all men. This word, the mind that was in Christ, to be in you, living itself out in you. Years ago, a young man came to me. He said, you know, I always believed that I was elect. But he said, I see by what you're preaching that I'm not even born again. And I said, well, brother, I said, you may be elect, but unless you're born again, what is your election? What good is your election going to do you? What good is it for a mother to have a stillborn child if the baby's born dead? What good is the life in that child going to do? It'll bring more sorrow to the mother and those around. And unless you're born again, you cannot reflect, you cannot come into the image of the firstborn son. So I said, what you need to do, you've got too many distractions. You've got all these boy toys and all these things you're doing. And I said, you need to get out in the wilderness someplace, get on your knees before God and stay there until you hear from God. Like the old colored man said, you know, he said, right here in that hog pen, he said, I'm going to get on my knees, God, and I'm not going to get up until I hear from you. And he said, now if I don't hear from you, you're going to find an old bag of bones right here. Because he was sincere. He wanted God's Spirit. From Christ is the mystery of God revealed, Brother Branham said, it's Christ being revealed and He is the Word. And when the Word is revealed, it expresses itself, see? That's God's purpose for Jesus Christ, was to express Himself, to take His own laws and live by His laws and fulfill His laws by death. He died in flesh in order to condemn sin in the flesh, that He might bring to Himself a glorious bride, redeemed back, that will believe only in the Word of God and not swap it, like Eve did, for intellectual conceptions of men. You see it? And that is a problem that I see even among those who claim to have the doctrine right. If they have it by revelation and not just an intellectual conception, then it has a life to it. And it must live itself out in their lives, or it isn't revealed to them. As Brother Dale would say, they've got it, but they don't got it. They can talk it, but are they walking it? Faith is a revelation, and if it's truly revealed, it must build up an energy, and that energy must manifest itself in an action. That is what life is all about. A dead horse doesn't kick back when it's kicked, and dead people spiritually do not manifest the energy of God concerning the revelation of Christ. They are just preoccupied with the cares of this life, just like the rest of the world. And except for the church that they attend or the ministry that they ascribe to, they are no different than the rest of the world. From the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, Brother Branham said, the new birth is Christ. It's a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's the new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through His Word by the same actions, the same things that He did, making the Word manifest? Oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day. Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. So the new birth is a real event. Many people look at it as though it just sort of happens, and they're not so sure when it happened, but they presume that they have it because they attended the right church. That's pretty much the way it is. And that's nothing but hogwash. And the person that thinks that has not been born again. Many say, well, we have Brother Branham. We believe he's a prophet of God. That sort of thinking is carnal. You won't make the rapture based on Brother Branham's life. You'll make the rapture based on your being born again. A son or daughter of God, period. And to be born again is a life-altering experience. And if your life has not been altered by to serve the living God, then I wonder if you've been born again. Oh, you might talk the talk and walk the walk, but are you alive to Christ and He is alive to you? There is a worldwide revival now, I believe, taking place among the bride. And yet most Americans who claim to believe the message are not even aware of what God is doing. And not only what He's doing, but being conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Where are the signs and wonders taking place in the American churches today? They've been too intellectualized. We go overseas, we see them all the time. The people are hungering and thirsting for God. From a sermon, is your life worthy of the gospel, Brother Branham said. I was telling someone this afternoon in a little meeting, I said, every son that's born of God has to be tried first and chastened. And I remember when I had mine. My greatest hour, when a man's born again, there's a little spot like the size of a fingernail that God injects into his system, and it falls into his heart, and there it anchors. Then Satan makes him prove it, and if that ain't there, you're gone. Jesus said in Matthew 13:23, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So how are you going to bring forth fruit if you don't understand it? Now notice how Brother Ram tells us that the Holy Spirit comes and anoints our mental faith, and then it becomes a spiritual revelation that builds upon word upon word upon word. That Brother Ram says that when these streams of grace pour in upon our mental faith, when them streams of grace is poured into that mental faith that you've got, then upon this it becomes a spiritual revelation. Now in closing, I'd like to talk about Peter. The one who Jesus praised for receiving the revelation of the Godhead, that there is one God and He had a Son, and Jesus was the Son of God. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 13, he tells us, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice he says, at the end time, there will be a certain grace that will be brought to you at the time of the revelation or the unfolding or the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we read, verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are to be enriched. This grace brings a maturity like fertilizer by Him in all utterance or all logos and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. This is the same as we see in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10, when He comes to be glorified in His saints, when the very mind of God comes into His elect seed. And the reason for this is so that you will come behind in no gift. That word is charisma, which is a spiritual endowment, waiting for the apocalypse, the revealing, the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says that we should all have the same mind, that we should all speak the same thing. So we find also in Romans 4, verse 7 to 8, he says, saying, blessing are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So we find then the identifiable characteristics of the new birth is that people will be caught up into the revelation of Jesus Christ as spoken of in 1 Peter 1 and 13, where he said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice revelation, something been revealed to you. Revelation breaks, we'll understand the grace that comes with it, bringing us into the same mindset so that we might all cry out in one accord, grace, grace unto it. We find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, we read, God is faithful, by whom we were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How can you be joined in the same mind if you don't have the same spirit? You see? Because by one spirit we're all baptized into one body. To have the same mind. Whose mind? The Pope's mind? The professor's mind? Or the mind of Christ? Let the mind of Christ, that was in Christ, be in you. So you see, if we have the mind of the Father, and to have his mind, we must have his spirit. And we know that by one spirit we're all baptized into one body, the body of Christ. So it's already a done deal. So as we see in 1 Peter 1:13 and 1 Corinthians 1:4-10, God has given us a spirit of grace in this hour to have the mind of Christ. And he said, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. So it is possible for you to have God's own thoughts within your very mind. And that is what Brother Branham was talking about in that last quotation that we read from the spoken word's original seed. Notice how he begins quoting from John 5:19, where Jesus said, the Son can of himself do nothing, but whatsoever he seeth the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. That is what Ephesians 1 is all about. That we were in him before the foundations of the world. That we were predestinated under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to receive the very mind of the Father, to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. Let us bow our heads in prayer. To gracious Father, we pray from this message this morning, recognizing that unless we're born again, we cannot understand the message. We cannot understand your scripture. And yet, to be born again, the understanding that we receive brings us into uniformity with your thoughts, that the very thoughts that were in you would be in us. And that will conform us to the image of your firstborn Son. So we, Father, we just pray that if there be any here that are not born again, that truly, Father, your word would rest upon their soul, and that your spirit would come into them. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's just sing that song, I Love You, Lord.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship thee, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet song in your ear.
God bless you all. Wednesday night service, 7 o'clock. God bless you all.